Judah and Matthew are dumpster people, and they occasionally use foul and inappropriate language. Listen at your own risk.
They're the guys who know just what you wanna hear. These blogs are updated just 5 times every year. It's the show. And Dusty wrote to them from jail and said it's great. Now it's time for Brother Date.
Welcome to Brother Date, non-tracks edition. I'm Matthew.
I'm Judah.
This is also a mailbag edition. Mailbag!
It is. We should get a mailbag drop. We should make one.
Mailbag! By Brother Date. That was it right there, buddy.
All right. We'll cut that out. I'll cut that out and make it a drop. I hope I didn't talk over it.
Mailbag!
Okay,
something
good.
Like
that one was clean. Oh, yeah. No, you were laughing at the end and I talked over your laughter.
Okay, we'll do one more. Hold on. Ready? Mailbag. Oh, no, I didn't do it good.
All right, whatever. We'll work with what we've got.
We'll figure it out.
If not, I'll just record myself saying mailbag and then add 5 octaves and make it a robot voice like I, my one trick.
It's the easiest way to make a drop.
Yep.
Last week's mailbag was extremely light.
Well, we have some mails this week.
Okay, good.
On October 30th, Ben wrote in to ask, at Brother Date, how old is Sulu by Chakotay's Academy days?
This is, okay, so, yeah. 15-year-old Chakotay is like, oh, I got a recommendation from Captain Sulu, and I didn't know which Sulu that was supposed to be.
Yeah,
that could not have been Hikaru, right?
No. He'd be 1,000. Because, how old do you think Chakotay is supposed to be in Voyager?
40? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, thereabouts?
Seems right. I mean, it seems right to me.
Maybe less.
First of all, it's not clear if he's a commander or a lieutenant commander. His rank insignia
when he
suggests
did a betrayal?
That he's a lieutenant commander.
When he did a betrayal or now? Oh, okay.
Now.
Okay. I don't know what he was. Didn't he do a betrayal? Right. Was it at the academy or was he already an officer?
Anyway, do we know how far he is into his goddamn career? That's my question.
I don't know.
Anyway, the thing about Sulu is he, how old do you think he was in the series as compared to McCoy? 15 years younger?
God, at least McCoy is ancient.
Right. So something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, he would be 128 or 129, somewhere in there. Like, that's definitely would be my guess, if he was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But we know he has an adult daughter in the
yes.
in Generations.
She's a helmsman, just like him.
In Starfleet.
Yeah.
She probably would also be too old. So, it's either Sulu's grandchild or great-grandchild, if they're related at all.
Exactly correct. Yeah.
I think they want us to feel that way.
Yeah, it would be pretty crazy if he was a 128-year-old captain giving out recommendations for cadets to some, especially to some weird kid out on the fringe,
right.
Middle of nowhere or whatever.
Also, Captain Sulu has to be someone that on whatever weird planet this tribe lives on, mm-hmm. presumably in the, near Bajor. I don't know if they have a name for that area.
The Demilitarized Zone?
Yeah, in the Demilitarized Zone. be weird if Captain Sulu was stationed on that planet, because it seems like 15-year-old Chakotay has access to whichever Captain Sulu it is.
Yeah.
So.
I wish they had just hadn't said that. I feel
yeah,
like they
I also
said
wish
that.
They just hadn't said that. Like, so many things about that episode, Matthew. I wish they just hadn't said or done any of it.
Or the whole series, really, I mean.
So far.
A lot of complaints.
You know how I have said 15 times that Deep Space Nine goes off the rails 15 minutes into the episode when the wormhole's discovered?
Yeah.
Voyager didn't go off the rails for a couple of episodes, but it's completely off now.
Yeah, I don't
know. No rails.
They don't seem to know how to get back on the rails. Like,
this show is just not at all about going home.
No, it's not.
It's just like, what if we just did some F-grade Next Generation episodes that just happen to be in the Delta Quadrant, so we can't even use any of the goodwill we've built up to the Klingons and Romulans and so on?
Right. Do you think this was still in the end of the no serialization? I mean, the no continuity era?
Yeah, I presume so. This would be about third season Deep Space Nine, though, so or fourth season now. So Deep Space Nine was going to get into that. We already did the three-part DS9 arc that was before Voyager even started.
Because and I just wonder if they were like, oh, if they're just going home every week, that's nothing for syndication or whatever. Like, we need to make sure they're self-contained episodes. Blah.
I'm sure that they still got that kind of pressure from the studio, because this definitely still predated the sort of binge watching that I've said came in first with DVD box sets, when those, mm-hmm. because there was a thing that happened with DVDs too, where they were cheap.
Yeah.
And this was like, you could buy one episode, or, sorry, you could buy one VHS tape of two Next Generation episodes, because that's all that would be on it.
Yep.
And it would be $80. It used to be that buying a commercial VHS was insane.
Yeah.
So I hope you like Best of Both Worlds, because it's the only episode you can afford to have.
That's right. You have to save up for a while, and then maybe you can get like
you'd get there
redemption.
And be like, because they wouldn't even be sequential. So you'd go to the store and be like, fuck, they only have one left, and it's Data's Day and Measure of a Man.
Just really, this is not going to work. Just, for, this is a Data 2-pack? No, thank you.
Well, I guess I can watch Joe Piscopo, but oh no. Oh no.
That's the outrageous Okana, and you know it.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah,
a Data 2-pack you would not want to buy. Don't
right.
buy that.
So, yeah. So, like, you could own a box set of a TV show on DVD, because they should be $20, and then you could binge watch it.
Yeah.
So I think that, and then, of course, Netflix and other on-demand forms of viewing broke that no continuity rule.
Yeah. I was going to say about box sets, you could even watch the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, except you never could. No one would let you. Society wouldn't let you. Society would let you down. And you would never be able to watch the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Isn't that just on Netflix now?
I have no idea. Do you think that could have possibly ever made it onto Netflix? The Super Mario Brothers Super Show?
Well, hang on.
I mean, holy shit. If that's on there, then I can stop complaining, finally.
Super Mario Bros.
Don't worry. I'll have plenty of other things to complain about.
Was your copy stolen off of your doorstep or lost in ship or lost in your move?
It wasn't lost in the move. It was shipped to me, and I never received the shipment. So whether they just didn't deliver it or it was stolen, I will never know. It was... I sent it... You gave it to me while I was home for Christmas break or something. I packed it in a box to get sent back with a bunch of other Christmas stuff that I'd gotten, and that box never made it. Never made it back to Boston. Thanks, mail.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Boy, Netflix knows what all the episodes are, but I'm not signed in. I can't. Oh, I should open the Netflix app.
Wait a minute. What am I doing? Netflix knows what the episodes are?
Yeah, yeah.
Then
it's
must
got
be
a
on
full,
Netflix.
The full listing for the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I don't know. It might be that you could still get it on the DVD.
Yeah, that's right. Forgot that even still exists.
Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Streaming?
One season.
Well, that's fair. Streaming?
Yeah, you know, I'm on the streaming app right now.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, there are 52 episodes.
Then
so
I can stop complaining. I like that. That's good.
That's what you can watch when you exhaust whatever you're watching now.
I'll never exhaust it because it's Running Man. I'll never exhaust it.
Yeah, they make one every week. So
I'll never catch up.
Yeah, it is available, though.
All right, good.
On October 30th, Ryan wrote, at Brother Date, I do enjoy Wendy's chili. So he's the one person that eats it.
It can't be good, right? I don't even know if I've ever had it, but it can't be good.
I don't think I've ever eaten it.
It must be like watery.
And they don't
ass...
even put it on their hamburgers, so I don't know. But like,
watery,
it's got to be basically... It's got to be Wiener Schnitzel chili, right?
Yeah, you can't
it's
eat gotta that.
It's got to be topping chili.
Yeah, that's topping chili. That's not eating chili.
I have had the chili at Chili's, and it's good.
Oh, well, that's good. That's not why they named it that, but that's cool.
It
if
is
they
not,
do
but
it.
They do make a chili that's decent.
Oh, I used to get chili at Longhorn Steakhouse.
I've never been to one.
That was decent. God,
I think there's one in Sunnyvale, but I've never been there.
It's a long fucking time ago. Back in Boston.
But he asks, will anything beat jalapeno poppers as a fast food side? Well, I don't love burning my mouth.
It's a good recipe. It's
there's only two kinds of jalapeno poppers. Still frozen inside.
That's right, yep.
Or it's lava.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're supposed to like poke the lava ones first, like pierce them with something and wait for all that steam to come shooting out. and then you just gotta wait. You just gotta wait it out.
Well, it's not a popper then, is it?
No.
If you can't pop it in your mouth, then what you've got is a tiny, shitty chili relleno.
Yeah. I think that's what they are. I don't think they're true poppers, because like you said, there's always a temperature problem.
Yeah.
But, burning aside, I enjoy them.
Yeah, no, jalapeno popper is real tasty.
Mm-hmm. Like a Hot Pocket, but tastier.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Burning
there
potential.
Aren't any Hot Pockets. Oh, God. Matt, what's up with the cheese in Hot Pockets?
You mean, like, what is it?
What is the cheese sauce in the ham and cheese Hot Pocket, specifically?
I think that's one of those questions you're not supposed to ask.
Because it's not even macaroni and cheese sauce.
You know some of the questions about Star Trek we're not supposed to ask because the whole show will unravel? That's one of those questions about life that will make life unravel.
What is the cheese in a ham and cheese Hot Pocket?
Yeah, what's the cheese in a Hot Pocket? That you're not supposed to ask that. Because no one has a good explanation. You're going to have to do so much more work than the writers of this planet did.
Yeah, that's true. 42 minutes ago.
Wow.
Ryan wrote in at Brother Date.
Fresh.
I'm ready for an animated music video for your theme song. Well, that's a lot of work.
Boy, I don't.
And I don't know. And I'm not an artist.
Like the guy from Parks and Rec, I've spent 2 weeks working on a stop motion animation, and it's about 3 seconds long.
It's so... 6 seconds of an REM song.
That's right. One of my favorite bits from that show. He's so devastated. He thinks he's done such a good job.
How can that be it? How can that be everything?
He spent 2 weeks on it. Stop motion animation is probably not the way to go. I don't know how to animate anything. I just don't know how to do it.
I'm sure given enough time I could figure it out, but like, woof.
I mean, in order to get that done, we just have to farm that out.
I don't even have video editing software. That'd have to be the first thing I had to do.
I mean, I think we should just farm it out if we're gonna do it.
Yeah, but
we got the money for it. We're making a lot of this.
We're
making a lot of money on this. We can afford it. This is a revenue generator for sure. It is not a waste of all the hours of my life.
Also, I don't feel like I don't know. Now I'm imagining a scene where first there's an animated Kim Jong-un, mm-hmm. and then there's an animated Sandusky, and then they high-five each other.
See what I'm saying? This could be good. It could
and
be
the
all right.
And high-five turns into our logo somehow.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Can we have Captain Lou in there, since we've been talking about him? Just in the background?
Yeah, everybody now. He's definitely going to be doing the Mario.
That's the only dance he ever
Which
learned.
Is a kind of stomping dance?
It's like a staggering stomp. Yeah. I would say. Like
he staggers at the end of it real good.
He's not quite sure.
It's on Netflix, Matt.
Where the floor is. I'll watch it. I'm going to watch
it. I bet you won't. It'll be like, there was a time when Katie was like, He-Man's on here.
Oh, boy.
You want to watch He-Man?
He-Man's hard to watch.
He-Man is bad. So it's going to be bad. And we didn't make it through a whole episode. It was...
It's
extreme.
Tried to watch one. I don't know. We tried to watch them. I don't know how many we got through. But Prince Adam? Is that his name? Prince is just so intolerable.
Yeah,
he's such
bad.
A whiny little fuck.
Even his cat sucks.
His cat sucks even harder. I want them both killed.
Yeah. It's like, I guess, what if we watched those Disney Channel Zorros and it'd be like,
don't.
The pussy version?
Don't do it.
Pussy but Don Diego?
Those were, yes, he is a pussy when he's Don Diego, but we know he's holding back on purpose. He's not just a pussy.
Yeah, whereas there is magic involved with He-Man, so it's not clear.
Prince Adam is a pussy, for sure.
That's a good point.
Then he has the magic powers, because he has the power. By the power of Grayskull, he has the power.
Yeah.
And then when he uses the power, then he's like a manly dude with a haircut. But Don Diego, he was pretending. He was
pretending.
Being sly, like, oh, I could never get in a sword fight. What are you talking about? Swords are scary.
To the point where it was always laughable. The idea that he might get in a sword fight.
That's right. Everyone would be like, what, Don Diego? You're right. That little
the dude
pussy.
Was so good with a sword, he could spell.
I know. And that's how you knew when the fake Zorro showed up, because he cut Sergeant Mendoza when he gave him the Z. And Sergeant Mendoza was like,
there
what?
Was a Zorro imposter.
He's like, what? Zorro never cut me before? And at home, you're like, oh, this is bad news. Somebody's got to get rid of that Zorro.
Zorro's going to kill the Alcalde.
He killed the Alcalde, dog. He killed a guy.
Zorro killed a man.
Because he got unmasked. Spoiler alert, everybody. If you unmask Zorro, he'll actually kill you. The rest of the time, he's just fucking around. He'll just humiliate you over and over again. But if you unmask him, you're dead.
Anyway,
sorry.
If Disney Channel Zorro ever comes to Netflix, I'm concerned that if I watched it, I would be very disappointed. Also, Disney's Return to Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I could watch that.
It does have Brian Blessed, but...
Now that I've seen the definitive version on Stars, I don't think I could go back.
What?
That's too Black Sails show.
Black Sails?
That is half in that universe and half in the real-life universe. That doesn't make any sense. It likes to incorporate real-life pirates and then fake fantasy pirates.
Oh, does Long John Silver show up?
Long John Silver is, like, one of the main characters.
Who plays Long John Silver?
Some weird-looking dude.
Why not Brian Blessed?
Because it's when they're all hot teenagers. I told you this already. Oh, I explained the pitch for this show.
God.
What
Long John
if
Silver
did...
is a hot teenager? Does he still have both legs?
In the beginning. What if we did
I'm
Treasure
sorry, did we
Island...
get to see how he loses his leg?
Of course, it's an origin story, the whole
God.
Thing. What if we did Treasure Island, but they're all jacked, fucking oily teenagers, and they don't wear shirts, and the chicks are just fucking like crazy. We're talking bush. We're talking butt cracks. Just all over the place. This is gonna be a fucking amazing show. And then they spent like $9 million per episode on it and chose just a cast full of the worst actors you could ever cast.
Oh.
And you just sit there and you go, wow, they spent so much money on this terrible idea.
Starz is done, though, right? They're done trying to be a real network?
Well,
I feel like.
They do that fuckbook show, and I think that's where
they're still doing fuckbook?
I think that's where all their marketing goes, because I think that's the only thing they ever advertise for is the fuckbook show. By the way, if you ever watch it, I know you tried to watch one episode, or you turned on one episode or something, you have to watch
it.
I
was scanning, which is how you know I'm old.
If you, I know, I do that sometimes still, too. If you watch it with somebody else, that's the only way to do it, because then you can get some real good, some good mockery going. But if
it would have
yourself,
to be you. I mean,
I watch it with Marjan.
Katie doesn't
and I...
enjoy having a show mocked.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, this is why I don't get invited to horror movies anymore.
Well, those are hard.
Specifically,
not to
mock. Your why.
What did I do?
We were making fun of that horror movie.
Which one was it?
Mama.
That was not a great film. Why did they keep? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get into Mama. I'm not going to do it.
Let's not get into it. I did see Get Out. That wasn't bad.
Yeah, Get Out was fine, because it was my buddy, my best friend, Jordo, we can call him. The guy that I wish was playing every character in every film. Every time I see somebody, I go, I wish Jordan Peele was playing that guy.
Matt, the mailbag's closed.
No, what?
Yeah, we had three questions.
The mailbag canceled, and one of them was from 40 minutes ago.
That's right.
That's all right. I think we covered some pretty good ground.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Awesome. What have you been doing last week?
Well, you know, working as usual. I've been watching a lot of Running Man.
Yeah! What's the haps?
The haps with K-paps?
The haps with K-paps. It's, we've both been absolutely crushing Running Man, which, again, means nothing, because they've made, like, 380 of them.
Yep.
And... they're all an hour and a half, so it's just like, you'll never catch up. It can't be done.
Yeah, I have not yet watched 30 of them.
And you've been watching them aggressively.
I have. I've been staying up way too late watching Running Man.
I told you last night I had a Running Man dream.
Yep.
And that's a sign, I think. I think I'm going to have to slow down a little bit.
No, I've been in that same mode the last couple of days to stop myself from watching Running Man late in the night. At some point, I've just walked away from my laptop and come back to my desktop and started building digital Legos instead.
It's something else to waste the time.
That's right. But I don't have... That's not Running Man.
It's true. It is just so... I don't know. I find it very addictive. Despite the fact that all the cast are sleazy and terrible... I enjoy all of them.
Did they start out that way, or did the show make them sleazy and terrible?
I think the show has definitely encouraged it, because, like I've said a million times, the way to win this show is to cheat. Cheat as hard as you can possibly cheat, and that's how you win.
The way to win, nothing.
Yes, yeah, it all starts over immediately.
It's purely for pride.
Yeah, there's no scorecard tracking who's won the most. There's no, I mean, there usually aren't prizes. There are occasionally small prizes.
Yeah, but even then the prize is beef patties or something. It's not...
No, it is all about just taking home the W and really sticking it to the other members of the cast. And, man, some of the things they do on the show are buck wild. I sent you a screenshot of one of the characters, I think trying to murder one of the other ones. She was
getting
carried,
distressing.
Carried on his back and just was repeatedly punching him in the head and jabbing lipstick into his mouth and she bit his ear at one point.
I'm looking forward to watching that one. That one seems like it's going to be fun.
It was aggressive. And it's the kind of show where, and again, we've talked about it recently, where because the Korean entertainment industry is so different from the American, these K-pop idols and actors and whatever will go on the show and get kicked and punched and paddled.
Yep.
And have to pay for dinner and just like whatever. They're just in.
They'll have to go to a restaurant and then spin a roulette wheel to see whether or not they get to eat. Or they just have to watch everyone else eat.
Right. And because they have no power, they just, the agency told them to go there, so they went there. And
because someone at some point in the episode might mention that they have a new single.
That's right. Maybe they'll let them dance to it or something.
Maybe they'll let them dance to it for 25 seconds.
And then it'll be an hour and a half of abuse. Well, an hour and a half for us. Those things, I think they take like all day to film those.
They appear to take all day. I think they are heavily edited for the best material.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've been watching a ton of those, and I don't blame you. I'm the one who said, hey, this is the one you should watch, but now that I know you're watching it, I'm watching it five times as often as I used to.
Yep. It's self-reinforcing, because I can just send you a picture of HaHa with the caption, this game is sexual.
I mean, he had a point.
That game was a little sexual.
Yeah. I like HaHa.
I like HaHa, too.
I saw one where he won. He won.
I never like when he has little dreads.
No.
And I don't like his mustache.
No, it doesn't work when Songmin does that either on the other show, when he tries to urban his hair up. And you're
right.
Like, don't do that. I saw one the other day where HaHa won the challenge so well that he lost it. They had to, like, capture these two actors, and whoever captured one of the actors would get lucky that, like, the one that nobody, they didn't know which one was the good one, but if you capture the right one, you'd win however many won, and if you capture the other one, you'd get nothing or whatever. And he did so well that he captured both of them, so then they made him pick which actor he wanted to take, and of course he picked the wrong one. So,
yeah, he's not one of the cack-handed ones.
No, well, you know, what do they say? Cack-hand's gonna cack? What is it?
Something like that, yeah.
Cack-hand's gonna get cack, man.
Yes, I love them. First of all, these variety entertainers are either very superstitious or they know that it's funny to pretend to be superstitious.
Yep.
And they really believe in luck. Like, if they're going to spin a roulette wheel, they'll always take two or three practice spins.
That's right, trying to get out the bad luck or whatever.
Yep. They'll practice roll dice before they roll them for real.
Yep, or if they have a choice, they'll let somebody else roll them for sure. They'll go, no, Gio always has good luck. You do it. Blank
and,
G.
And because they're 380 episodes in with mostly the same cast members, they all know which ones are lucky and which ones are unlucky.
Yep.
And there's even a hierarchy of which ones are the unluckiest.
That's right, exactly, yeah. No, the granularity of everything after 380 episodes, I mean, it's very clear the order of anything that you could possibly imagine. Among this six or seven person cast or whatever.
Yep.
But, shit ton of that has been going on.
Well, they had to stop filming the episode they were making this week because the guest's boyfriend was killed in a car accident.
A lot of car accidents in Korea. I get the feeling that, like a lot of countries, the traffic laws are kind of suggestions. And people just sort of do whatever they want. I mean, case in point, when Marjan and I were in Jeju, we drove for an extended period of time on a highway that was closed. Nobody seemed to care, really. We got
what sense was it closed?
Well, we kind of got lost, and we were like, wait, where do we get off here? What is this? And we drove right past some cones and onto the stretch of highway that was completely deserted, and there were a bunch of cones behind us, and we were like, oh, I think we're not supposed to be here. And then there were a bunch of construction signs about how this place was closed, but we just drove on it for a while, like 10 minutes or something, and then we got to the end, and there were more cones, and then it was open after that, and there was traffic on it, and we just kept driving, and no one seemed to care at all. We drove on that very close section of highway.
Well, that sounds like a fun little adventure.
Yeah.
And not at all panic-inducing.
No, I'm sure I was extremely stressed, and Marton was probably like, eh, it'll be fine. But, yeah, there are a ton of car accidents there. And this dude, he was one of the cast members of Two Days, One Night, I always forget what it is.
I've seen it both ways, actually.
Which is a decent variety show, and I'd seen it a few times, so I was familiar with the dude. But I guess he had a heart attack while he was driving around out there, and because the Korean news is so crazy, they just straight released video of the accident.
Yeah.
And the dude just, he kind of stops, suddenly steps on it, clips a car next to him, and then drives right off the side of the road and into, I think, some stairs and a fountain or something. And, just beefed it big time.
Yep.
And yeah, his girlfriend was in the middle of filming an episode of Running Man. So bummer for that guy. So it's November now.
It is November. Today is the 1st of November.
It is official. And it's going to be an insane K-Paps month.
Yeah, you were giving me some of the highlights. Dude, what's coming up in November,
dude,
K-Paps
okay.
wise?
All right, I'm going to go reverse order from what I told you before because I have it all up here. All right, you got Mina from Girls' Day. She's coming back with a solo thing. That's in a couple of days. There's going to be fucking Lovelies. That's sort of like a C-tier girl group. They're coming back. Twice just came back yesterday, so they're gonna be on all the music shows.
I know.
Just cleaning up, winning trophies, just every single day. Because they get trophies.
What?
So there's like 4 music shows every week, maybe 5. And there's like a big fan voting for who gets to win that week or whatever for each of these shows. And they all perform on all the shows, so Twice will perform this 5 times this week and 5 times next week and maybe 5 times the week after that if they want to keep the promotion going. Anyway, so there's like voting, and then if you win the vote, you're like, you took home the trophy. You were the whatever, M Countdown winner or Music Bank winner or whichever show it is. And you get a trophy. So that's cool. So Twice just came back. They're the biggest girl group these days. Their song was extremely borrowed from Pristin song.
They ripped it off from my beloved Pristin.
That's right. And as a high, you were very upset about that.
I was angry enough to kill, I told you.
I know.
I didn't know who to kill. One of their producers, I assume. They probably had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, no, they have no... There's no creative input from these people.
Even if they had creative ideas, they probably have no power to execute them.
Right. Yeah, I felt like I needed to tell you when I watched the new Twice video, and I went, did they just say that they likey do-do-do-do-do? Because I'm pretty sure that's almost exactly what Pristin said in their song that came out a month and a half ago. Or
well,
whatever.
They say they likey, likey, they likey, 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 they likey, likey, likey.
Why is that a song?
Yeah.
Anyway, XID's coming back. That's a close to top tier girl group. Goo Goo Dan is coming back. You might recognize Sejong from IOI. She's in that group.
Oh, she's in Goo Goo Dong?
Uh-huh. Goo Goo Dong.
I don't know what you said. Goo Goo Dong?
Yeah. They're coming back. Red Velvet's coming back. For all the rest.
Is it going to be a red or a velvet?
Oh, boy. Last one that came out was a velvet. It'll be a red.
Oh, good. I like the reds better.
Yeah, they did a red, and then they quickly did a velvet, and so it's red time again. God, they've had like six comebacks this year. It's nuts.
Matt, what's a red?
A red is... All right, so they're called Red Velvet, and they decided right from the beginning that they were going to go concept on this motherfucker, and so they were going to alternate their singles. Half their singles would be red singles, which are like dancey, poppy numbers, and then half of them would be velvet releases, which would be kind of slower R&B ballad type songs. And they have held to that pattern, releasing one of each, like, every comeback cycle.
For the 2 years that they've been in existence?
It's actually more than three now. They're,
wow.
They're tenured. They're
seniors. Were pretty new when you went to Korea, right?
Yeah, they had, when I went in 2014, literally they'd been out for like a few weeks with Happiness. Right. And so it was still like playing everywhere when I was there. So yeah, it should be a red release, and so all the Rev Loves are going to be out in force, like Marjan, she's a Rev Love.
So they don't have... I love that you've assigned everybody in your life a group.
She claims that this is a Red Velvet household.
But you're a once.
I am currently a once.
So...
I've been sort of unhappy with the last few Red Velvet releases.
Wow. Yeah, but I know how you feel about the latest Twice. I know. So...
Everyone's letting me down. We'll have to
see. Maybe you got to come on over to Priston. Look, if Twice is just going to bite him anyway.
I haven't really ulted anybody since Secret, you know? But they haven't released a single in 3 years, so it's
Secret over. Was a band that was for the men's, right?
The Secret was... they definitely turned into a group that was for the men's. They went through their cute stage first, but then it was for the men's. So anyway, we'll see if there's anybody that can impress me. Does anybody want my fandom? That's what I'm saying.
Well, we'll see how this new Red song is.
Yeah. So anyway, November's going to be crazy. It's just going to be loaded with the K-pop comebacks.
Well, we'll give thanks. And I know that you're going to keep me updated on all of these comebacks.
Oh, for sure.
And later at night, in shame, I will watch the videos that break down who gets the most lines.
Well, those are just good videos.
In even more shame, I will read the comments of all of the fans of that group complaining that a particular person didn't get enough lines, even though they're supposed to be the lead singer.
That's right.
The main vocalist.
It's like they have forgotten that four members of each group have been tagged with the label main vocalist.
That's right.
Yeah. Look, those videos are really entertaining. The ones that break down how many lines each person got. I watch those. Those are good. Because I can't tell. All their voices have been so robotized.
Yeah, they don't sound like humans. And then they're all singing the same register. Like, yes. It doesn't seem like any of these groups have someone who sings like... This is the deep-voiced singer.
No, there ain't no boys to men out there. It ain't like, oh, okay, I get what's going on. We're doing some real good four-part harmonies or whatever. Like,
mix it up Temptation style.
Yeah.
Give me someone who's got a deep voice in there and someone who's got an unusually high voice so I can tell them apart.
Give me the gravelly middle and let's do this thing. Yeah, no, because it's not about the music.
They do it Bananarama style where the harmony is everybody just sings in unison.
That's right. That's a good way to describe it. That's absolutely the way Bananarama did it and the way that these K-pop groups do it. Yeah, they're really...
That is technically harmony, but it's absolutely the least interesting kind.
Yeah, they like I said... This is a visual art, and that's why the music isn't good. And so they don't care. They are not interested in giving us a good musical experience. They are interested in the dancing ladies and a lot of color, and flashy stuff.
Yes, I discovered it too in the morning that both of those Priston videos have alternate versions of the videos that are the dance versions.
Yeah, a lot of people release those. Yeah,
where they. They don't show the story elements, like there's no part where each of the girls in Priston is a different kind of weird witch archetype,
because
they're casting a spell. Instead, during that part, they're just dancing.
Right. Yeah. Well, people do like the choreographies. They like that stuff.
Like, well, and they all do them. Like, on the variety shows, all of the people know the choreographies of the big groups.
Yeah. Weekly Idol will often pick whatever the hot act is and make every guest do that dance. Right now it's a song by Soonmi, who was a member of Wonder Girls before they disbanded, and she has a song out called Gashina that they make everybody do her dance when they go on the show. So that's the hot one.
Now, do you think they picked that because of the dance, Or just because the song is popular?
I
know that those two are tied together, but...
It's the popularity, I think. And then because it was popular, everyone knows the dance. So they make everybody do it. They used to do it with one of hers, too. They used to do it with a song that she had called 24 Hour that came out, like, 4 years ago or something. So for, like, a year, whenever anybody would go on Weekly Idol, they'd have to do that dance. So maybe they like her a lot. I don't know. But, yeah, they always make them do everybody's choreography. So that's the Haps. With the Paps.
The Haps with Kapaps.
Yep. And, again... It's going to be a crazy November. I'm so glad we're here. It was a long slog to November.
That's right.
I know our long national nightmare is over.
That's right, because four of Korea's top 80 girl bands are having comebacks this month.
That's right. All we're waiting on is Blackpink. Like, if they can announce they're making a comeback in November, this is good. This shit will just be ludicrous.
Yeah. Could it be?
It's certainly possible. They didn't. Their last one was like 2 months ago. That's an insane amount of time for these groups. They don't need rest or food.
Priston's last one was in August.
Wow, was it really that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, then they should be back too. They should be back soon.
Yeah. And why not?
All right. Well,
Because Kyla is at a fat camp somewhere.
The netizens chased her out of the country. Guys, the netizens. That's what trolls are called there. I mean, that's what they call everyone who's a commenter on the internet, but that's they're all trolls. They have so much power in Korea. They decided to do the internet much harder than us, and so the netizens really just control the whole place. And they did not like how fat, quotes, this 15-year-old girl was in Priston, and they taunted her so much that the band sent her to America for a while. And I suspect it'll be forever, but at least for a while.
Matt, I saw YouTube comments that suggested that one of them was the fat one, and then I watched both videos several times, and I was not sure.
It really was not. I had a lot of trouble. When I sent you that dossier and I saw who it was, I went,
I guess.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I can't tell. I can't tell if she's the chubby one.
They got different standards there.
Yeah, they do. And again, if you're the chubby one, you just have to own it. You have to go on all the shows, and they go, "You're the chubby one!"
And then you go, "Yeah,
yep, that's me. I'm pretty fat. Boy, I got loads of squishy fat." And you just gotta go, "Yeah, that's me." And then it's not a surprise that all of those end up going on crazy crash diets. And
yeah, there was one girl on Men on a Mission who she said that all of the fans knew when they were going to have a comeback because of her weight yo-yos. And yes, they showed a picture of heavy her and light her, and it was a little scary.
Yeah. No, they are straight not allowed to eat for a while before a comeback. And, again, it's because they ain't got no power. Try telling some American pop star that she's not allowed to eat.
Yeah, it's not going to go over well.
No. And then try telling her she's got to go play a beach game where one of the cast members of this variety show is going to kick her over and over again in the shoulder and head.
Yep.
See how that
exactly
goes.
Yeah, try telling Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Try telling Taylor Swift that she's going to go somewhere and people are going to hit her on the head hard with a toy hammer.
You're going to have to film this all day. It's going to be terrible. They're going to mock you a lot. And yeah, you're probably going to get physically abused.
Hey, a mean man is going to break a gourd over your head.
And then they'll penalize you if the gourd doesn't break. Yep. So be prepared for that as well. Yeah, that won't happen here. Yeah, so watch out for those netizens. Don't let them turn on you. Because it'll be it.
Yeah, I didn't jump into the YouTube comments on that Twice song and say I liked it better when it was by Priston.
Oh boy, you don't want to do that.
I didn't want to get into it.
Yeah, do not.
I don't want a SWAT team showing up at my house.
Yeah, do not unleash the anger of the Onces. They are a national movement over there. They've, you know, Twice has taken over from Girls' Generation as the nation's little sisters, so...
Well, especially now that three of them are out.
Yeah. Who even knows if they're ever going to come back.
They're never going to get it back.
Yeah.
As the nation's little sisters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you saw how excited everyone was when they were on Running Man. That's a big get. They were just like, oh, shit, look who is here.
Yeah, they were real. They were real excited about that. They were definitely more excited than they were when Blackpink was on.
Yes. I mean, they did mention over and over again that Blackpink was so chic.
Yes.
yeah. But that was not quite the same level of enthusiasm. We can do a sports update too. We can do one.
And
of
we should. It's Game 7 of the World Series is happening right now.
Yes, and currently Houston is up 5-0 in Game 7. So there.
Yeah, there's a lot of innings left to play, but that's a big lead.
Yeah.
So I'm already sick of hearing how much Houston needs this win. You know, the city of Houston.
Yes, this is going to change everything for Houston.
This is going to undo that flood for sure.
This, from now on, it's going to be smooth sailing too. They'll never flood again, I think.
But,
and if they do, they can all swim to this World Series trophy, and it will keep them afloat.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. Like,
it's hard for me as an A's fan to care what's happening in baseball. You know, because it's
been... Yeah, I don't want the Dodgers to win. They beat the A's in '88.
You know, and people, I actually say that to people, and I think they probably think I'm nuts, but it's just that I've had to see that Dennis Eckersley, Kirk Gibson highlight 75,000 times.
Yeah, no kidding. It's the only baseball footage you ever see on TV.
I'm just so... They make it seem like that was Game 7 or something. That was Game 1.
Yep.
Like, yes, the
A's... Yeah, no, they still had to lose the rest of those games.
Yeah, yes, they fell apart after that, but, you know, that wasn't it.
Yeah, but I mean, that happens all the time, right? You know, ball goes through someone's legs and everyone forgets that there was another game after that. And
yep,
then...
not only that, there were extra innings in that game. Oh, no, that was the extra innings. They'd already allowed like 8 hits in a row before that.
Right, exactly.
That's what had happened. Yes, and then there was an entire another game where the Red Sox also led late and then didn't win. So, yeah, but so Houston's never won the World Series. So I guess I'm rooting for them over the hated Dodgers. But they're also division rivals of the A's, Houston. So it's not like it's...
Okay, but only very recently.
Yeah. It's just, when they joined the division, they were the worst team in the league and were losing like 110 games a year.
So to see them in the World Series while the A's continue to suck eggs is painful for you?
I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah.
I was kind of rooting for something harmless like a Twins-Nationals World Series, you know?
Yeah, it's very hard to care about that.
Something that would not make me feel any feels at all. That's what I was hoping for, but I didn't get it. So yeah, the baseball's happening. The NFL is still happening.
It continues apace.
It was, actually, they had the trade deadline, which usually in the NFL doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
There is no big rush to complete trades. Most everyone is either comfortable with their roster or just go, we're not going to be able to get anything done, fuck it.
It's only really a big deal in baseball, right?
Yeah, basketball sometimes. I'd say basketball second. There are sometimes blockbuster deals in basketball. But baseball's the big one where everyone is waiting for that August 31st. I mean, July 31st deadline, and then the August 31st is the next deadline. Because they know that there's going to be a ton of moves made. But this week there was actually a lot of moves in the NFL trade deadline. Panthers traded away their top receiver to the Bills, even though they're still very much in playoff position. So I'm guessing they think they can duplicate what he brings with some other people on the roster. Because I don't know why you would trade Kelvin Benjamin, who's a giant target, if you're in the playoff hunt, unless you just thought, we're just going to duplicate it. We have Devin Funchess and some other dudes, and we're just going to go at it. I don't know.
I mean, that's probably what it is, but I always like to imagine when there's a trade that I don't understand, that there's a new Moneyball just around the corner that someone's trying out, you know, like, this is it, this is my new shit, I got an algorithm.
Somebody thinks they found a market inefficiency?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Well, until you actually read the Moneyball book or see the movie, and you realize that that's not what Billy Beane was doing at all. All of his trades were predicated on personal grudges. And that's how he ran the team. Hey, Art Howe doesn't want to play the guy who I want him to play, so I'm going to trade everybody else so he has to play him. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that does suck.
And you're like, oh, so it wasn't based on market inefficiencies, even a little bit. It was actually the oldest school strategy, which is, I hate everyone I work with, and I'm going to fuck them over. And that's how I'm running the organization. And that's how he's run it the whole time since. That's why he traded Josh Donaldson, who was under team control for 3 more years, was the best player in the American League, and was on his... $500,000 a year contract. Traded him for some prospects. Because he badmouth Billy Bean to a reporter.
It's okay.
Well, I'll never get over that. I mean, it's you can't trade somebody who's the best player in the league, who's making no money, and is under team control for three more years. You can't trade that person. You can't do it.
Listen, it's okay.
No, you can't do that!
It's fine. The A's won't win again until Billy Bean is gone.
I know. I don't know when that'll be.
Unfortunately, he believes his shit now.
Well, that's what happens when Brad Pitt plays you. When Brad Pitt plays you in a movie about you and about your brilliance.
Do you start to think you're pretty cool?
If you didn't already, you're like, yeah, I was pretty cool, I guess. That's true. I remember when I was cool. Boy. You made me think of that. Why did you make me think of Josh Donaldson? He won the MVP like the next year. All right. That's fine.
Listen, that is what happened to me. That's what happens when there's a trade and no one understands the reason for the trade.
Oh, right,
I just assume we're moneyballing again.
Yeah. So maybe that's it. So that was a big trade. The Patriots have what everyone assumes is a really good backup quarterback behind Tom Brady named Jimmy Garoppolo. And I say assumed because that's one of those things that you can never really tell.
Yep. You never know. Sometimes there's an Aaron Rodgers, right?
Like, yeah. Just sitting back there waiting in the wings.
Just biding his time. Or Steve Young, right? Mm-hmm. He was pretty good. But a lot of the time, they get up there after years of sitting behind the starter, and they're like, oh, we got to find another quarterback.
Yeah, it turns out this guy sucks. I wish we'd known that for years. Yeah, so he has like 60 snaps or something in the NFL, and he did pretty good with them. But it's just not a good sample size.
Yeah, that's not a lot of snaps, especially when you consider that if you only have 60, you probably got him under pretty specialized conditions.
Yeah, you came in to mop up, or someone got hurt for a quarter or something. Like, he did not start some games and play. Oh, Tom Brady was suspended. That's what it was.
At least in that scenario, you might be playing a significant part of a game.
Yes, and then he got hurt. So he didn't even play all the games Tom Brady was suspended for. This was beginning of last season. And Tom Brady was supposed to miss four games, and I think he started the first two but got hurt in the second one. And then it was Jacoby Brissett or whoever played the other games. So anyway, this dude is supposed to be really good. Like Matt Flynn, remember the Packers backup to Aaron Rodgers, was supposed to be really good because he played one game against the Lions when Aaron Rodgers got hurt and lit him up. Like that was some big fucking accomplishment.
Yes.
He threw six touchdowns against the Lions, and everyone was like, six touchdowns? He's better than Aaron Rodgers! And then he got a starting job and was the worst quarterback in the league.
Yeah, everybody shouted the six touchdown parts and whispered the against the Lions parts.
That's right. So this guy's supposed to be good like that, and the 49ers are just so inept on offense that they traded away some draft picks to get him. So he's going to have to figure out their playbook and play his way into the rotation. But they're winless. The 49ers are 0-8, so I don't know. I don't even know why they even bothered. Like, who cares? Just get the number one pick.
There's always a pressure on a losing team to do something, to make a move, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you're the one who's going to get fired? Like,
yes. Oh, no, yes, that's correct. So in reality, it makes no difference. They're not making the playoffs. They should just try to get the number one pick. But it is true. Somebody, probably Jonathan Lynch, who is new as GM, is trying to justify his position.
Right.
And be like, look what I did. I brought us another mediocre quarterback.
And
now we have four
of
them.
It's rarely a good move, right? But yeah. there's like some attitude like, well, you have to do something.
Yes. No move that is meant to justify your position ends up being a good move, I think.
I have always... What is my number one promise if they make me manager of the Oakland A's?
That you won't do it? You won't do anything, I mean?
That I will not do anything. I'm going to start the same lineup every night.
That's right. Let them get used to it.
I'm not going to fuck around. If there's a left-handed pitcher, so what?
That's right. This guy can hit, right? He's a major leaguer. Let's just let him hit.
Yep. I'm not gonna do bullshit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the laziest manager, and the A's will probably get 10 more wins because of it.
I agree entirely.
Yep. I'm not promising the world. I'm just saying I think there are 10 wins that can be eked out of an average A's season by not making these dumb moves.
Well, since this is turning out to be my terrible nightmare A's podcast, that totally reminds me of the time in the playoffs against the Yankees when Art Howe decided to intentionally walk Paul O'Neill, who was one for his last 38, to pitch to a scorching hot Glen Allen Hill because of a righty-lefty split.
Yep, gotta
get that. And Glen Allen Hill put it about 485 feet just out of the entire ballpark. And I was just sitting there as a fucking 15-year-old or whatever at home going, what the fuck is happening?
This is such old news that it is a joke in The Simpsons.
That's right, exactly.
But I have 5 home runs today, coach.
Yes, and good job. Whatever he does. Yeah, well done. And then he pats him on the butt and tells him to hit the showers.
Yep. You're left-handed, and so is the pitcher.
God. Yeah, so yes, you would be a much better manager than the A's have usually had.
Well, of course you mentioned Art Howe. It was definitely during Art Howe's reign that I developed this proposal.
Yeah. I don't know if he didn't understand what was happening. Like, people were whispering in his ear that he had to, like, care about splits or something. But he didn't really know what was going on. I never got the feeling he fully grasped what he was doing.
I mean, that was a full-on stroke move.
Yes. Yes, Glen Allen Hill was like 13 for his past 25 with 6 home runs or something.
That was Art Howe pulling his pants down to get some dirt out of there.
Yep, it wasn't charming, though. It wasn't charming like Steve Lyons.
No. Well, because he's the manager, he couldn't then immediately be embarrassed and be like, oh my god, did you see what I did?
That's right.
I fucking pulled my pants down right here on the diamond.
Guys, you see how far he hit that? That's on me. Whoops. Yeah, he couldn't do that.
He had to stand up for his dumb decision.
Oh, and I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was like, look, that was absolutely the right move. I'd make it again.
Oh, I know. I hate that.
Fuck you, dude. Art fucking Howe. Played ably, though not accurately, by Philip Seymour Hoffman in that movie. So insulting to Art Howe. Everything about that movie was so insulting to Art Howe, which I don't mind because he was terrible. But Art Howe was like a big, beefy athlete.
Yep.
And
even at the age he was when he was coaching the A's,
he still looked pretty good.
He could have cleaned Philip Seymour Hoffman's clock easily.
Can you imagine how insulting?
It wouldn't have been a contest at all, can you imagine?
They have a real life rivalry, him and Billy Bean. And the movie comes out and Billy Bean is played by Brad Pitt and he's played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Art Howe is probably 5 inches taller than Philip Seymour Hoffman, at least.
Yeah, and again...
And he was not one of the fat managers.
No, he was still in pretty good shape.
He still looked like a weird Pete Rose situation could happen if the A's were losing badly enough.
Where he
just put himself in.
Put on his hard hat and get out there.
All right, I'm playing right field.
I can't imagine... Even the casting decision must have been made on purpose to piss off Art Howe. Billy Bean must have insisted. Choose a real fat idiot. Choose
Get
the
Zach
sloppiest.
Galifianakis.
Yeah,
what? It's not a comedy. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He heard Jonah Hill was cast in the movie, and he's like, "Yes,
all right.
Thank God we got the right guy." Like,
it's a good choice for Art Howe.
No,
what do you mean it's not Art Howe?
Well, find someone fatter, damn it. Yeah, that was.
Make him look like drugs have ruined his immune system.
By the way, Philip Seymour Hoffman just so good that you come out of that movie going, "Oh, poor Art Howe."
Yeah, by the way, Philip Seymour Hoffman is a very good actor.
Yeah.
But it is insulting.
It's very insulting. The A's have had lots of bad managers, though, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. And they will.
They will. Yes, they will continue to. Yeah, the whole organization is a disaster.
If there was a news item that floated across the desk tomorrow and it was Fitz Hill to coach the A's, I'd be like, yeah.
Boy, I would be so down for that. Imagine he would show proper shame
for their behavior. So
middle of a doubleheader after the first game, and they've lost 11-2. He's just vomiting in the dugout. And you're like, oh, you still got another one, Fitz. There's another one coming.
And you hate to see that.
Oh man, yeah. No, the real problem, the real depression about the Oakland A's comes from the fact that there's no organizational plan, and so you know there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's just like you just look at everything in the minors and you go, oh yeah, no, this isn't getting fixed.
Well, we're only about 24 years from the last World Series and only 300 people are going to watch that, so don't worry, the A's are going to go away.
Yeah, I mean,
I do wonder when the London Kings are going to come around, though.
We're almost out of time for Buck Bakay to do his thing. There's a Buck Bakay out
really
there somewhere
are.
And he needs to get We need to make sure
I mean,
sure
for
history.
Real, he's got to be at least 16 now, right?
We need to make sure history repeats, dude. We have to set the timeline right.
His record was in what, 2026?
Yeah, but it wasn't like his rookie year or anything.
So you figure that's his 27.
There's a baseball card exists.
His age 27 year, right?
Just look at the baseball card.
I mean, if the writers did their homework, he'd be 27.
Let's see. Yes, I mean Buck Bokai. Sorry, I didn't spell it good. Shut up. Internet is so sassy, dude. It's like...
Oh, I know, Google.
Come on. Did you mean this? Don't ask that as a question. You know what I meant. You know what? When you ask something like that, that's just a way of insulting me. Isn't that right? If someone, like, provides their criticism in the form of a question, that's just being a dick, right?
Yeah, of course.
Is this what you meant? Shut up. I can't find that baseball card. Where is it? Let me put that in.
That's wild.
I've seen it a million times, so I'll
it's from Deep Space Nine, right? So it's probably such low resolution that it's unreadable.
Oh, God. Now, here it is. 2019 looks like his rookie year.
Yeah, this is right around the corner.
For Crenshaw? Oh, boy. I don't know where that... is that L.A.? What is this? After that, he plays for Gotham. Now we're just using fake names.
Yeah.
Then he plays for Tanis, and then Cebu. Okay, Cebu, that's real.
Greatest Heroes of the Planetary Baseball League.
Oh, dude, we need to invent a whole league?
We gotta go to another planet?
God, this is gonna be a problem.
Oh, it's probably like a United Earth scenario, right?
I hope so. But, I mean, it is a baseball with other baseballs orbiting it, so I'm kind of worried about that logo.
Wait, is this from the year before he broke the...
Yeah, this is like a baseball card from the year of.
Okay.
That's why it's worth so
Born
much.
In 98, according to this card. On Halloween. Happy birthday, Buck Bokai!
Oh my God, this is the what good timing! Wait, so how old is he? Do we know?
He's 19 now. Oh, he turned 19 yesterday.
Happy 19th, Harmon Buck Jin Bokai. Is it Gin?
Don't know.
Jin? I don't know either. He's only 175 centimeters, which I guess that I saw him in the show. That tracks.
And 81 kilograms.
Well, that seems like a Fats Domino lying
situation. Born in Marina Del Rey.
Okay, all right.
This is an interesting... Okay. This is an interesting
Wait, did he
card.
Actually break it in 2025?
Well, he's been the solar system-wide batting champion for 2 years. Man,
because he said... Oh, last season he missed breaking Joe DiMaggio's consecutive game hitting streak by only 2 games. Dog, he had a 54 game and then he broke it the next year?
Yeah, well, the dude can hit.
Fuck me.
Although, he only hit 390.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's better than DiMaggio.
Great, but
hit.
In a year where he had a 54-game streak?
DiMaggio only hit like 360 or something in the year he had the 56-gamer. And by the way, he hit in 17 of his next 18 as well.
Yeah.
So he ended up hitting in 73 out of 74 games. Ted Williams that year hit 406. He didn't have no good hitting streak. I guess he was collecting them when he got them.
Why are all the related images to this mugshots?
That is a really good question. I saw that as well. This one's from Yonkers. Steve McQueen? Why is this mugshot on here?
Wait a minute. Wait, look at the second. Look at the one immediately next to Buck.
Charles Barkley?
Charles Barkley.
Nice. Hey, you can see there. He's 6'7".
These are like famous people's mugshots.
Or 6'8". Depending on the picture. Dog, did they shrink him?
You know, that's a good question. He's taller from the front than from the side.
I think they gave him a shrink ray while he was in there.
What happened there?
It's confusing to me. All right. That's
not how mugshots are supposed to work.
Yeah, that 81 kilograms, that sounds like a Fats Domino situation to me, where he said that they called him the fat man because he weighed 200 pounds, and then you saw a picture of Fats Domino, and you asked if he was 5'1", because how else did he weigh 200 pounds? I don't get it. By the way,
he doesn't look like a 200-pounder.
Not only was it Buck Bokai's birthday, but also RIP Fats Domino.
Yeah, that is sad. But I kind of mourned him the first time during Katrina.
When we were sure he was gone?
Yeah.
Because how?
Well, that was what the news said.
Thousands of people didn't make it out. How did Fats Domino make it out?
Yeah.
But he did. And then finally passed.
I mean, he lived another 12 years after that, so good for him. But, like, also he was not, I mean, he's old, but he wasn't that old.
First he was walking, then he was walking her home and walking to New Orleans, and like you said, now.
He's walking to heaven.
He's walking to heaven. Just gonna enjoy that walk.
A lot of his songs were about walking, and only a couple were about illiteracy.
Don't send me no letter, because I can't read. He did seem very proud of that.
He was not ashamed.
No.
He was a proud Christian illiterate.
He also had some stuff about Blue, right? Because he had Blue Monday and Blueberry Hill, right? That's two.
And My Blue Heaven. Oh,
My Blue Heaven, that's three, yeah. The guy loved themes.
He did.
Like Marvin Gaye.
Well, like his theme on the ecology?
This is one of my favorite themes. It's like, what? What do you mean you mean this song that you wrote is one of your favorite themes?
That is weird.
What do you mean by that? Show me your cocaine. I know you have it on you. Just show it to me so I know.
He had vials of it in his back pocket. That's why he slides face first.
That's right. Like Rock Reigns. Rock. What a great nickname.
Every couple of years I read the story of that guy crawling through the vents with a cork bat.
You can never get enough of that because it's real.
Had to replace it with someone else's bat because all of the bats were corked.
He's like, well, we had to replace Albert Bell's bat with, I don't know who he says, David Segee or something. David Segee's bat, of course. We didn't realize that all of Albert's bats were corked. Or we had to do it, of course, because all of Albert's bats were corked.
Yep, like, but they got there, boy. They're like, hey, this isn't even his bat. What's going on?
They didn't have any choice. They couldn't provide an Albert Bell bat.
A straight-up caper. Dude, was a straight-up caper.
They got into the air ducts and snuck into the umpire's office. That's a real thing that happened in a professional baseball game.
They sent a relief pitcher fucking through the ducts during a game because they knew that the bat would be dismantled and examined afterwards.
By the way, they
knew it was corked because all of his bats were corked.
People, I think, are often talking about like beanball wars when they talk about how baseball players handle things in-house. They handle their business by themselves. They straight up did a caper themselves. It wasn't even like a staffer for the team did it.
They didn't send the equipment manager through the fucking ducts, right?
They sent one of their 25-man roster into the ducts.
Yep.
In the middle of a game.
Yep.
Yeah, you should always read it. Read that, it every coach, once in a while.
The coach knew that pitcher was unavailable. Yeah. He could not come in to pitch if they needed him because he was in the duct work. I go back to that so often.
We should always. Everyone should always read that story as often as possible. Just to
remind us. Always reminds me of the pine tar incident, and then I always get off on altered bats after that.
Yeah, it's good to know that miracles like that can happen, like long neck giraffes and all that stuff, dude.
Oh yeah, pet cats and dogs for sure.
Yeah, magnets. How do those work? You know, the whole run.
Astan's kids look just like Astan.
And my two kids look just like Astan. It is a miracle. Long neck giraffes, dog.
I know.
I mean, they're kind of a miracle. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Listen, I'm completely down with the sentiment of that song, which is appreciate the fucking world around you.
Yeah. Hey, we may not understand all of it, but it's glorious.
I don't remember which card from the Joker's deck that song was on in the, you know, where it fits into the dark carnival.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's a real positive message I think everyone should embrace.
I agree. And that's what everyone should think of when they're reading about Albert Bell. Just anything about Joey. Anytime you read about Joey, that's what you should be thinking. Remember when people used to just chant Joey at him?
Yeah.
Baseball's retarded, dude.
I mean, Jason Giambi said it best.
I don't know if you've ever heard that.
I don't know. Baseball's retarded.
Breaking the rule of interviewing Oakland A's. They're not ready. They haven't had enough media exposure. They're not ready.
They don't even know the one trick, which is answer the question you prepared for.
That's right. Don't answer anything they ask you. Just answer the thing you've been thinking about all day. Yeah, Coach, what are you going to do about your offense out there? It looks like they're a little slow. Well, you know, you just got to tackle in space. Just got to tackle in space, you know, when they get out there, we're missing a lot of tackles, tackle in space. Yeah, Coach, but what about your offense?
Coach, what about the offense?
Yeah, but, you know, it's just about open field tackles, you know, that's all we're missing. That's all we're missing out there. Okay, thanks, Coach. That's it.
Back to you.
I didn't get anything. Why do we even do this segment? Back to you guys.
Yet another waste of my time. At least an old man didn't try to kiss me.
That's right. All in all, a victory today. It is a thankless job and a completely unnecessary job.
Well, I mean, you just, like, because if a coach is going to snap and just tell it like it is, it's going to be at the press conference after they lose.
Yeah.
When he's just screaming, they were who we thought they were.
If you want to crown their asses, then crown them! They are who we thought they were! R.I.P. Denny Green. He was good times.
A sideline reporter has literally never gotten anything good.
Yeah, and I don't even mind having the reporters on the sideline, because sometimes they have injury updates and stuff. Yeah, but
yes, exactly. But don't have them interview anybody.
Yes, the interview segments where you cut to them on the sideline and we have to watch them awkwardly interview someone who doesn't want to answer any questions, it's again, we're 0 for 10,000 more. Yep. We're 0 for a million. Just stop.
Yeah, we're 0 for enough that we should know to stop. Yeah. We get 55 whiffs at that every single week, yeah, so knock it off.
We don't need that.
There's a reason they don't try to do it in other sports.
Yeah, they do it in basketball, and there's exactly one coach who will engage and only to fuck with them, and it's Greg Popovich, and he will just clown on them the whole time and talk about how dumb their questions are, and that's the best that you can hope for.
Yep.
Every other coach just says, well, you know, we're working on some inbounds plays. We were pretty happy with the way that went. Yeah, but three-point shooting's really cold today, huh? Yeah, those inbounds plays, though, we're gonna work on those, and I think it's going to be a new wrinkle. It's gonna go really well. And it's like, okay, awesome. That was good. Good segment, everyone.
I mean, really, the sideline reporters know that their careers are on the line with every interview, basically.
Yep.
And so they can't let the frustration show, and this is why I don't think I could be a sideline reporter.
Oh, hell no. No. I don't even want any part of that.
Because I for sure at some point would be like, why don't you answer the fucking question I asked? Like,
that's not what I asked. You would really break. You go, that's not what I asked. That's not what I asked. Answer the question. And you'd just be shoving the microphone in their face.
I've interviewed you 15 times this year. You've never once answered the question I asked.
Why do you always pull this shit, coach? Yeah, they take the mic out of your hand like they took it out of that Monday Night Football guy's hand. You know the guy.
I do. You didn't even want to watch that.
It hurts my stomach.
I've forgotten his funny name, Sergio something, right?
Yeah. Poor guy. He wasn't cut out. Someone put him in that position.
Yep. Oh. And he was not prepared.
No. Just to finish up sports, the first college football playoff rankings came out, which are just meaningless. Why do we need to have it 8 weeks in a row? Why?
We certainly don't.
We don't need the regular ones. We don't need the regular rankings. We don't need the playoff rankings. Just let us know when you've picked them. You know? It's like, oh, is it helpful to me to know that Georgia is number one and Alabama is number two? They're going to have to play each other.
Right.
So,
at that point, I'll know which team is better.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes.
I'm not that interested in your guess as to which team is better.
Yeah. If they keep winning, they're going to play each other in the SEC championship, and then that'll get decided. Does it matter to me that Notre Dame is number three, when, like, 2 years ago, there was a team that was number 16 in the first ranking that made the playoff? Like, it don't matter. Don't none of this matter. Let's just keep playing the football games. Right?
Yeah, that's the part of this that I like.
Yeah, I like the
this
football
is the part
games.
Where they play the games.
Yeah.
Again, and I can watch them play it.
Even, like, just some action, dude. I'll just watch some action, and I'll be like, these guys know they're on TV, and the trick plays come out, and you're like, oh, yeah. This is why you watch Directional Michigan versus Directional Michigan. Like, every college game is good. They're all good. It's not true about the NFL. Not all NFL games are good. Some of them are slogs. They're depressing. You just sit there. There's an injury on 11 plays in a row, and you just go, ugh. Like, this isn't very fun, but every college game is so much fun. I don't care that they're slower. Doesn't matter to me.
No, it just gives you more space in each play to appreciate what's happening.
Yeah, it's like how tennis has evolved to be something totally unwatchable. Back when they had some wooden rackets and they were spindly little dudes who looked like they'd never seen a weight room, you could get a lot of, like, volleys going and rallies, and you'd be like, oh, this is awesome. This is like a 15 swing point or whatever. That was really cool. But these days, with their fucking crazy hybrid rackets, and they're all jacked, and they're, like, top athletes, and they're quick as hell, they can get, like, around the court in one step. There's no rallies. Everything's just hit point. Hit point. Either you hit it out or you hit it in. That's the whole game. And it's like, they need to either make the court bigger, or they need to send it back to wooden rackets, or...
I haven't watched a tennis in so long.
I know.
Oh, they're not going to make the court bigger.
I know. So then they gotta deaden the rackets, dude.
Yep. They gotta, just like every 10 years... F1 reduces the maximum engine displacement because people learned how to make better engines again.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not fun to watch. Like, at least a men's tennis match is not fun. The women are, they're still, because the court's the same size for them, they're still not quite strong or fast enough to make it totally meaningless to watch it. But with the men, it's just, is he going to hit it in? Because if he does, it's a point. Because no one can catch up to that. Or he'll hit it out, and that's it. Like, there's no cool rallies. Anyway, that's what the NFL is like, plus a lot of gruesome injuries. Okay? The NFL is like men's professional tennis with way more gruesome injuries. That's it.
That's sports this week.
Good. We did the Haps. We did a sports report. We got everything in, everybody. We did a mailbag and all that.
Next week is a Star Trek week.
Yeah.
If you want to play along, here are the episodes you should watch. You should watch The Devil in the Dark. That's a pretty good one. Spock mind melds with a rock. That's pretty cool. You should watch The Neutral Zone. Another episode of The Next Generation.
There's a Marco Lamo sighting.
It's true, but it's not going to be fun.
No, maybe not.
He's not Gull Ducating it up.
No, not even like Gull Musetting it up.
Whatever. They don't even let him off the leash yet.
No.
He just sits in a chair. Anyway, for Deep Space Nine, we're watching the episode Melora.
That episode sucks. Hey, to be fair, Tay is also in that episode, and his voice is off the chain.
No, I'm into Tay.
He's like Songmin rapping. That's what he's like.
Mm.
Okay, sorry.
Voyager, we're watching Cold Fire.
All right.
It's about some kind of cold fire.
Okay.
Maybe it'll be about a fun STD that gets passed around in the crew.
That'd be so great.
Maybe there'll be so much sex that I won't be able to finish it.
I don't think Star Trek's ever done an STDs episode. How's that possible? We saw that really obvious drugs episode.
Yeah.
They don't want to tackle like the AIDS?
Well, they didn't.
All right.
Well, okay, so we know that they do, but and it's Enterprise that does it.
Enterprise tackles AIDS?
Yeah, but it's mind-melding.
Thank you. You reminded me. All right, I'm right there with you now. Okay.
Okay.
Good.
I was going to say The Game. What's that one? What's that a metaphor for?
Drugs.
Drugs again?
Yeah, I think that's drugs again.
Well, we'll see. When we get to it, maybe it's just a straight-up video game scare.
I think it could be.
And we're watching Shockwave Part 1.
Oh, Part 1.
Oh, it's a Part 1 of a two-parter.
All right.
Maybe even a season-ending cliffhanger. I haven't looked it up.
We didn't get notes from Ben last week, did we?
Well, he asked about Sulu. Oh, no, we didn't get notes. We didn't get episode notes.
Right.
Ben and I were up in the mountains.
Doing mountain stuff.
The weekend before we did our last episode, so.
Cut down a tree. And you.
We did cut down a tree.
You hunted a bear, but you didn't kill it, because it's beautiful. You just stalked it.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
And you, right when you could have shot it, you just went bang. With your mouth. Like, just gave a mouth bang.
Oh.
You mouth banged a bear, Doug.
No.
Doug, you mouth banged a bear in the woods with Ben.
Tweet us at Brother Date.
You subscribe are a buttery to the podcast. For
it's
sure.
on iTunes, brotherdate.com, etc.
Yeah. See you next week.
I've been Judah. Bye bye.
Bye. What? Zorro never cut me before. And at home, you're like, oh, this is bad news. Somebody's got to get rid of that Zorro.
Zorro's going to kill the Alcalde.
He killed the Alcalde, dog. He killed a guy.
Zorro killed a man.